You may remember this vivid video feed from the camera on the Coast Guard's frying pan tower off the coast of Cape Fear. As Hurricane Florence moved toward the Carolina coast in September of 2018, we all saw the raw power of the storm moving across the sea and foreshadowing the devastation to come. The wind, the noise, the raging sea. It's a picture of untamed power and raw chaos. I remember watching the live feed from the frying pan tower for a long time that day, wondering if the opening words of Genesis, the story of creation, might read differently with that image in our minds. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The biblical picture of the beginning is a picture of disorganization and uncertainty, a disordered world. Everything is formless and empty. The Hebrew words translated here suggest confusion, emptiness, and waste. All is shrouded in darkness. But God changes everything. Creation happens because God's Spirit was moving. Translations try to capture that word in many ways. They write that the Spirit of God was moving, hovering, sweeping, brooding, studying, fluttering, examining, lingering. And when the time is right, God takes action, sets boundaries, and calls forth order and purpose in the chaos. God says, "Let there be light." The light illumined everything, shows the difference of dark and light. God is pleased. God brings land from the raging waters, stable ground in the midst of the relentless churning seas, and this too is good. Day after day, God brings order out of chaos, life of all sorts of diversity, and finally, humankind. And as God surveys creation, God declares it all very good. Paul describes in his letter to the Romans that God is still at work in our lives, creating. God does not stop with us at our first breath, or when we first make our decision for Christ, or when we make our first mistake. Today, we hear how God works to bring clarity to our confusion, organization to our disorganization, certainty to our uncertainty, order to our chaos, life where we only see death. Those who are lost are given God's plans. Emptiness is filled with purpose. And when we choose it, our darkness is banished by walking in the light of God's grace and love. That's good news for us, because it often feels like life is mostly chaos. At a particularly low point in my own journey as a dad and as a husband, when I felt just incapable of meeting the relentless demands upon me, that was, in fact, the counsel that I received from a friend. "Embrace the chaos," she told me. Think about your own life. Is chaos a good way to describe it? Before I got married, I could go out with friends, go to school, try to get started working on my career. Didn't really have time to sleep, but that wasn't much of a problem because how much sleep did I really need? But now I see young people are facing a series of challenges and obstacles that I never could have imagined. They have all the information of the world relayed to the palms of their hands and their phones, but they have too little guidance in how to understand it. The path to a good education, upward career mobility, meaningful social relationships is anything but clear cut. I truly think it's harder now than it once was to be young. Pick your life stage. Maybe you get married. Try to work and grow together with your spouse. Maybe the family grows. You don't have any more time or money, but there are diapers and feedings and at least one who just refuses to sleep. that sleep you neglected earlier. Now it's unavailable. Maybe there's homework, virtual school, everything requiring attention that you never prepared for. And soon enough, the temptation's going to be coming to return to the pre-pandemic overscheduling of swim lessons or soccer or piano lessons or fencing lessons. Yes, fencing lessons. Being a cook, chauffeur, counselor, disciplinarian. But middle age has its own chaos. Sure, maybe you can reap the fruits of some of your earlier labors, but there are lots of responsibilities to people above you, as well as to the people you now supervise. You might hold membership in different organizations. Maybe you even have a hobby. But church often grows functional in this time, transactional after a while. Maybe you are active in church, you lead a Bible study, you sing in the choir. Everyone wants you to serve on a committee, but it all begins to come up emptier and emptier. All you know is that you can't wait to retire so that you'll have more time on your hands to do what you really want to do. But then when you retire, you find that you're busier than ever. Everyone thinks that your retirement has left you free to help them with this or that project. Your children are asking for help with home repairs or asking for free childcare. And things keep changing. Your body, your mind, your spirit all seem to be changing, degrading, growing, sometimes in the wrong directions, dying, threatened. Every step you take is filled with another measure of worry about what you don't know, about what you can't control. And if you needed a reminder, I'll tell you, there's COVID-19. There's a presidential election afoot. There are massive social changes, long overdue questions now upon us. It's hard to watch the news. It's hard even casually to scroll through a social media feed without being stirred up or discouraged or despondent. Often enough, life is chaos. Life is that untamed sea. You never outgrow it. All of creation groans, Paul told the Romans, groans up until the present time. Today, we remember that where there is chaos, there is God. That's the first thing that you need to know. You are not alone in the chaos. But that today is not the end of the news. Why is God there with you? God is there in your chaos for the same reason God was there at the beginning of Genesis 1. To create space for you to thrive, to fulfill the purposes for which you are called into being. Genesis is the beginning of a marvelous story that unfolds across the scriptures that tell us how we are created for relationship with God and relationship with one another, relationship with all of creation. God spares nothing, not even his own son, to accomplish this. And when life grows chaotic and aimless, when 1,000 things call for your attention, when there's no time for you to think about what you're going to do with your day, much less what you might be able to do for God, understand that God calls forth a place of peace in the midst of that chaos. It's there while all the stormy waves crash all around you, that God provides the environment in which you will abide and thrive. When is this going to be? Surely you're asking. Well, that's the promise of the gospel. God has already done it. Only one thing brings order from our chaos, and that's faith in Christ Jesus. And it's from that place of trust that we are granted peace, because we have the assurance that we are never alone, that God's Spirit is still brooding over the untamed chaos of our lives and speaking peace so that we might abide in times like this. That's why David could sing in Psalm 62:2, God is a solid rock under my feet, breathing room for my soul, an impregnable castle. I'm set for life. And that's why Peter, in his great sermon on Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the church, could preach, I saw God before me for all time. Nothing can shake me. He's right by my side. It is that assurance that brings us the peace that passes understanding. The book of Hebrews describes that sort of mature faith as an anchor for our souls that holds us fast with a relentless hope as the people of God, no matter what storminess may threaten to drive us from our God-given purpose. If you grew up in church like I did, you might remember the old hymn that speaks to times like these. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day, his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. Jesus calls us. By thy mercy, Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thine obedience. Serve and love thee best of all. When your world is formless and empty, when you are swamped and overwhelmed, remember that God takes the chaos and calls forth order and purpose that is strengthening the relationship of love that nothing in all creation could ever sever. It is through Jesus Christ our Lord that he has done it and will do it again. Thanks be to God. Amen.